Corey's doing a heck of a job. Norm, we got to get him some minutes in there. T. Ross has got to step up, continue to step up. We're trying to limit Kyle's minutes. It's very difficult and trying to do what we need to do.
Lowry into the seat, spilling beers, and the ball goes in, and no fan minds it.
Lowry probably minds it. Got a nice little shower. Little Labatt's blue on the back.
We got next. This is Free Association with Dave Zarum and J.D. Bunkus.
Welcome to Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum. He's J.D. Bunkus. You know, as promised on Tuesday, here's a special Thursday show for you because like 5 minutes after we finished taping, some pretty big news came out.
We're lazy. We didn't want to go right back in the studio and do something. We needed reprieve.
I was in the car and I wasn't going back in traffic.
I needed to refresh. I have a routine that I get into on my after my work.
Your pregame.
Yeah, well, I like to go home, take my pants off.
All right, moving on. So... Carroll, he's injured.
Wait, before we do that, did you see DeAndre Jordan's dunk last night?
Yeah, it was
good. Is there anything worse than the people that start off with the, that's not a dunk, tweets?
Why, because he threw it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Stay home. Stay off the internet if that's your
take. I don't
know
how I feel about that. You know, I'm doing a lot of dunk contest stuff for an upcoming magazine piece to be spoken about in more detail later. But I was just watching a bunch of old contests, like that Dwight Howard one, the Superman one.
Yeah.
Was that a dunk? He threw
yes.
it in. He didn't touch the rim.
Yes, those are dunks. Let's get over it. I'm sick of that stupid definition. Like, I just, like, get over it. It is what it's a dunk. Like, what
I'm cool with that.
People
like,
are like,
Griffin's
it's
had
a
few
throw
in. I'm cool with it.
I'm like, no, there's no such thing as a throw in. Also,
yeah.
Quick shout out to Dwight Powell. He's been playing great lately.
We talked about him last week, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. No, we skipped him.
We should have on Tuesday.
But he had a really good game. He was, he had 14 points last night for the Mavericks against the Hawks. I thought we should mention him just because Northern Touch, we didn't get to him last week. They lost in a squeaker. But
Dirk's the reason why they're a good team now because Dirk is unbelievable. Right. But he's also a big part of why they're being able to play well. Those aren't lost minutes. You know,
yeah.
He comes in and contributes something.
He's just got to learn how to stretch out a little bit more and knock down threes because he's a good mid-range shooter and he finishes really well at the basket, but he's close. So Spurs, Kyle Lowry was on Brady Walker today. Has said something to the effect of most of the regular season blends in together, but you do notice when a team like the Spurs comes to town. And he said that their consistency, the fact that every year, you know, that's a team that's in it for a championship. You get up for those kind of games and a really nice win for the Raptors.
Yeah, of course you get up when you play a team like the Spurs, but I think this all goes back to, it was a nice win for the Raptors. A great win. It goes back to what I was saying, on Tuesday. Like, that game against Golden State this past weekend on Saturday changed things. Like, that changed things for this team where they're at this season. You hold your own against a team like the Warriors. You, like, go toe-to-toe all the way till the end. You know, that it wasn't a win, but it was, you know, it was a moral victory. You come out of a game like that, and then you enter a game against the Spurs, and suddenly you're not so intimidated. Suddenly, these aren't the champs who, you know, you have such a slim chance of beating. You know you can compete against them. DeRozan spoke about that after the game. I mean, I think that Warriors game did so much to help this team's mindset that you got competition coming in like San Antonio and you step up.
See, I think it's a bit of a larger trend. I think it actually started before the Golden State game and before even the first one. I think that there's kind of an attitude around this team this year that they got bounced twice in the playoffs. They were a team that couldn't get it done in the postseason and that they couldn't beat good teams. And I think that they have a bit of a tendency to play up to their opponent. And down to their opponent. And I want to give you
Thunder, Kings, good examples.
Quick read here. They're 9-3 against teams with +500 records. Their two of those losses were to the Warriors, and they were nail biters.
Yeah.
And the only blowout loss was that Miami game where they lost by 20 points, but it was at the end of a 4-game road trip, and they didn't have Carroll.
That was the first game post Carroll, which is a cool segue because, a big reason why we need to tape this thing was the loss of DeMarre Carroll. And it's amazing to think that they don't have this guy in the lineup. They don't have Valanciunas in the lineup. And they're still going out and performing like that against, certainly against the Spurs last night. I know he was there. Carroll was there for the Warriors game. But so life without Carroll, we don't know how long he's going to be out, but it's the near future, at least, I would think.
I don't think it doesn't seem anyways like that he's going to be out for multiple weeks. Like he's not going to be out a month.
No. But like at least again, the foreseeable future,
right.
You're going to have to move on without him.
Are you starting to worry at all about the injuries with this guy? Like he's been mostly healthy his entire career. Now it's the plantar fasciitis. Now it's the knee contusion.
Well, the knee, I mean, that knee is something that stems back to
Clippers.
College.
Yeah, but he said that he hurt it in the Clippers game and that he was trying to play through it. And then doctors were like, why are you playing through this?
He probably like re-aggravated it
because
he's had problems with that knee his whole life. I mean, even before college, he's had issues with it. But in fact, in college is a time where he'll tell you he should have stayed out. He should have been on the injury reserve for about a month or 2 months longer than he did. And he rushed himself back. And I think he's still feeling the effects of that today. It worries me. And the foot stuff, I mean, those are kind of lingering-ish injuries. That being said,
is he going to play 60 games this year?
If he plays 60 games this year, I think the Raptors will still be fine because they're showing is that they can compete without him. Like it's just almost like a huge bonus when he is a part of the lineup.
Speaking of competing
without
him. Which
is crazy. It's the highest paid player.
I don't think that you and I would agree that, I think you and I would agree that the Raptors are a better team with Damari Carroll than without.
Obviously.
Yes.
But.
But.
Okay.
But like you said, they were competing without him. And I want to know what you think about this these numbers right here.
I think stats are always misleading, but go.
Okay. And that's what I was going to say. I just want to get your take.
Often
misleading. So again, he's the Raptors' second best three-point shooter. I've said before that the thing that they really miss when he's not around isn't even so much his defense, because I think that they can come pretty close to it with James Johnson. I think they can mask him being out the defensive aspect, but it's the shooting. This year, he's the guy that's right behind Kyle Lowry at shooting 37%. And we know that Terrence Ross isn't replicating that right now. He's been streaky, and that's kind of putting it nicely. So he allows you to spread the floor like James Johnson can't. That's right. James Johnson does a lot of things well. Shooting the three isn't one of them. But Damari Carroll, on and off stats, offensive rating -7, and opponents are 5.5 points better. His net rating is -12.3 with the Raptors this season. To put that in perspective just a little bit, James Johnson is a +10 rating. So again,
you would take Carroll over Johnson every day.
You would, but why do you think that the Raptors are discernibly, for some reason, the numbers, the net rating is saying that they're worse when Carroll's on?
I have
a theory.
What's your theory? Because I don't think it all has to do with Carroll even.
So I think it's partly to do with the injury, because I think that it's his field goal percentage. He's shooting under 40% from the floor right now.
And I think that foot is going to affect your lift, which affects your whole mechanics.
Exactly. And I think that because he's taking close to 12 shots a game and he's only making 40% of them, I think that the numbers are showing, Carroll, first of all, he's playing a ton of minutes too, right, when he plays. So when he's coming off.
It doesn't help, yeah.
When he's coming off and the Raptors are playing different lines, and they've had other small ball lineups that have been affected, but there's less of a sample size when he's not playing versus when he is. But I just think that he's been ineffective with his jump shot this year, and that's kind of hampering them.
I don't think we've seen anything close to his best basketball. He's yet to find his groove on this team.
No.
And still, I think he's contributing things that are good, despite everything you just said, which is valid. But still, on the whole, I think Carroll's been a great addition to this team. I think he's only going to prove so more. But when he's not in the lineup, obviously, he's not helping anything.
Yeah.
And it gets back to who steps up in his place. I think this might have been the best thing that could have happened to Terrence Ross, getting that shot in the starting lineup. Again, it's all mental with Terrence Ross, and so to know that you can make mistakes and stay on the floor is huge. I mean, it's an obvious thing for a lot of the rookies and whatnot, and we're going to have Norman Powell on the show later on. I know you caught up with him yesterday.
Cool dude.
For a guy like Norman,
doesn't like a certain snack food I like, though, which was disappointing to me. Canadian snack food.
I can't wait to find out which one.
I do the hard-hitting stuff when you're not around. I really go after guys.
Whatever. I asked Matt Bonner yesterday at the Spurs practice about things that are just as stupid, I promise.
Sorry.
So that's okay. Your phone's going off.
Yeah.
So with Carroll out, it's a matter of who is the next man up.
It's Emil Delic, who's not here. So it'd be good to get
producer.
His excuse
tell
about
him,
why he's
tell
not
Emil
here.
Tell Emil we're good.
Yeah, fine. You don't need to come into work today.
We're taping.
Thanks. We're good.
So for Ross, it's good because he's got that comfort of knowing he can make a mistake and stay out there. And I really like what I've seen from him. And then, like you said, Johnson's a guy who can come
You really
in.
Like what you've seen from Ross? I'd like to differ.
Well, compared to what we were seeing before, like the last couple games.
Okay, so So what have we seen? He's played two games. The Lakers game, he scored a lot of points, but he was playing against one of the league's worst defenses.
Yeah, so I like that. I think that's big for him. I don't care who he's playing against. He needs to watch himself.
But he gave up just as many as he put in. Like, you and I have talked about this. You and I disagree on like whether or not he should
Terrence
be good
Ross,
on defense.
Terrence Ross isn't the answer without Damari Carroll.
Right.
I think this is a good thing for his potential turnaround.
Then he kind of sucked again against the Spurs, though.
Yeah, it's the Spurs. They're going to expose him.
You know what, though? The one thing we can never take away from Terrence Ross?
What, the headband?
He can dunk. Well, that too.
We're not taking that away.
No, it looks good. I like the people that say when he wears the headband, he's Terry Ross. That's more fitting. He does feel like more of a Terry Ross with the headband. I wonder if that's because of Jason Terry and the way that he used to, or that still does always rock the headband. I don't know. For me, I think the guy to step up is James Johnson. I think that they should lean on him more. I think they should play him more. I just mentioned it that he's got a plus 10 rating.
How much did he play against the Spurs?
I don't have the box score in front of me. He did get a decent chunk of time. The case for me with James Johnson is that, again, I just think that he does everything well except for shoot the three.
Right.
Like, he's a good passer. He's a good rebounder. He's a good defender. He's good at finishing at the basket.
The thing that always impresses me about James Johnson is when you hear other NBA players and coaches talk about James Johnson.
Yeah.
Because they speak of him, like, in terms of some of his abilities. Like, I know he's inconsistent, and like you said, the three-point shot is a problem. And I know that Casey hates the fact that he can't always rely on him.
But he's only taken, like, we talked about James Johnson. Like, the one thing that stood out to me about him this year is that I think he's buying into his role a little bit more when he plays.
He's not trying to force it.
And if you look at the numbers, like, he's only taken six threes.
I'm not talking about taking threes, though. I'm just talking about decision making on the court.
Yeah, but that's what. But in terms of shooting, I'm saying that, like, you look at his numbers. He's taken six threes all year. He's only taken one shot that was over 16 feet. Other than that, aren't threes. Yeah. All of his shots, he's 18 of 21 at the basket. That's what he's doing. He's just going to the basket and he's finishing there and he's staying within his niche.
Where I'm pretty sure Casey gets stressed out is when he sees him put the ball on the floor and try to kind of bring the ball up the court a lot and stuff like that, where you can almost see it in his eyes where he decides, this is going to be my
possession.
He's
going coast to coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool because that's one of his abilities. Like I said, like when you hear other players talk about him, the first thing they talk about is his ability to get to the basket and how it's like an elite skill.
Dwayne Casey.
Like DeMar with getting to the free throw line.
Right.
James Johnson's ability to get to the hoop and drive to the hoop is almost unrivaled.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey has said that he thinks he's one of the best drive and go big men in the league, guys that can put it on the floor and actually go to the basket. And the numbers back it up because he's shooting 86% at the rim,
crazy,
which is really good. Really good for a guy like that. Like compared to, say, Kawhi Leonard, who's a guy that, is one of the best players in the NBA, plays the same position as James Johnson.
Right.
He shoots 73% at the basket, takes a lot more shots. He's got 75 field goals this season at the rim, but still, James Johnson is a guy who finishes when he gets there. I don't know. I think that the Raptors are in a position where they need to be winning games. We talked about it in the last episode about...
Really?
Yeah, okay. That was kind of a stupid thing to say. But what I meant by that
controversial.
Is...
Controversial. I like it.
What I meant by that, though, is that we talked about the East being a lot better this year and wins coming at more of a premium. We know home court advantage is going to be important for this team in the playoffs.
Not going to be easy to come by.
Exactly. And so I don't think that you're in a position where you can just let Terrence Ross continue to make mistakes on the fly. I think that you have to rely on your veterans, and I think you push James Johnson more.
Here's why I think you're good either way. I mean, first of all, again, I can't stress enough how impressed I am that they're doing this without Valanciunas on the floor.
Yeah, no question.
And Carroll out of the lineup. I mean,
Biombo's really stepped up. Another really good game from him again.
It's like what they're doing now. It's like making a soup and leaving out two crucial soup ingredients. I don't know.
You make a lot of soup, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Big soup guy.
Big soup guy, yeah. The broth? No. Yeah. Not quite the broth.
No, you can't leave out the broth.
Like leaving out
the meatballs? And,
yeah,
carrots,
sure. And, anyways, they're big pieces and they're doing it without them. And the reason why I think it's going to be fine and the reason why I think they can survive even Terrence Ross, going through growing pains while this is all happening, while those guys are out of the lineup, is because... And this isn't just for the Raptors, but certainly the Raptors are a great example for it. In the NBA, you only go as far as your stars take you.
Right.
So if DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are playing at the ability we know they can play at,
good.
If they're playing at their highest, the Raptors are going to be in decent shape.
Yep.
When those guys have an off night, they're really going to struggle because the absence of Valanciunas and Carroll is going to be that much more evident, right?
You know what I honestly, though, that I think it all comes back to, and I've said this before, is that I don't think that this Raptors team is particularly that good. JV's taken a step. He looks really nice. I like what JV can do.
You don't think this team's that good?
No, I think Kyle Lowry is playing way above his head. Yeah. And
you didn't like what you saw from DeRozan?
DeRozan's the kind of guy who, like we said, he's going to have his games where he's filling up. But ultimately, his mid-range game isn't as effective as people want you to believe.
I don't care about effective. I saw last night he was a huge reason why they beat the second best team in basketball.
He is. He's a good secondary punch.
And more often than not, that's his contribution to this team.
I'm not telling you right now that I don't think DeRozan is any good. What I'm saying to you is that I think the Raptors are more of a mediocre team, but they're being buoyed by a player that is second in win shares in the NBA, and that is arguably, like I said last episode, you can't make a case for number two behind Steph Curry. That's like no doubt about it. There's someone ahead of Kyle Lowry. You can argue Kawhi Leonard. You can argue LeBron James. You can argue Paul George.
I think that's a tiny, small bit homerism, because I think clearly at least top three right now for me, Curry, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm saying
LeBron and then Kawhi Leonard.
You have LeBron at two right now?
Yeah, just best player in the league right now.
No. I'm not saying best player in the league. I'm saying MVP voting. Like if you did MVP voting tomorrow,
like the MVP,
there's
right.
No guy that you could make the case of other than Curry that you would say he's a shoo-in to beat Kyle Lowry right now for the MVP.
I disagree.
Who? Bring up the numbers.
Leonard for sure. I don't care about the numbers. He'd get so many more votes than Lowry. It's not even funny.
But that's not the argument I'm making. I'm not making who would people vote for. I'm asking
who should
you
get the votes.
Who should get the
Kawhi
votes?
Kawhi Leonard.
You could make the argument both ways.
All right. Lowry's been playing great. I don't want to diminish from that. But I think DeRozan's been good too. And as long as they're playing good, they're going to be fine. And you know, I'm not as worried as you because, again, bringing it back to that Golden State thing, you could feel a change. It was like a shift in kind of attitude across the board. I think it's not something you can quantify with stats. It's not something you can put a number on. But I just think the confidence coming away from that, we've seen it. We saw it last night against San Antonio. I think we'll see it for the near future as well.
I think you'll see it against good teams. The issue with this group now is...
So Friday against the Milwaukee Bucks, you think that's the game they give up?
I don't think they give it up, but I don't think we see the same group that we saw against San Antonio.
It has been the issue. Casey
that was the
Hart
best game
they've
played all season long. By the way, we talked about trends. Since we last spoke, they've won their first two quarters.
Yeah.
They're playing better in the first quarter. That's a good sign.
Well, that had to change.
Yeah, well, they beat the Lakers in the first, so that's not really that big of an accomplishment. But to beat the Spurs wire to wire like that, play a whole complete game, that's, you know what, honestly, even more so than the Golden State game, I think the Spurs game, in a way, was more encouraging to me.
I agree with that, but what I'm saying is there is no Spurs game without the Warriors game.
Without the Warriors game.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I do. I just think that, again, if you look at their record against plus 500 teams, against good groups, they've stood up to the task. And even like you can take in that stat can be a little deceiving because you can say teams that are below 500 right now in the West that they've lost to, like for example, Utah is a game or two under 500. They lost to Utah, but it was again in Utah, a really tough place to play, and it came down to the final moments of the game.
That was on that road trip where they gave up a few games that they really should have won. That being one of them.
Yeah,
Sacramento being another. You know, obviously with Carroll out, one of the things that you would think would happen, and again, maybe the case with James Johnson, is that new guys get opportunities that weren't there with him in the lineup. And obviously a guy we've spoken about a lot is Norman Powell, who I think can contribute. You think can contribute maybe. Or you think he should voluntarily go to the D-League?
I don't
like
think
Corey
he
Joseph
should volunteer to go to the D-League. I was curious to ask him whether or not that's something that's crossed his mind, because he is a guy, you do have a team, it's down the road. It's not like he has to go to Tulsa to play these games.
Yeah.
Like, it's down the road, and you have a basketball game.
Yeah.
So there might be a time where he's like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'd like to just lace him up and play 36 minutes one night. Like, it'd be a nice change of pace from coming in and playing spotty minutes that he has. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that with Carroll being out, we're due to see a little bit more Powell. At least I hope so. I think that, I mean, you don't hope so in a way because you want Terrence Ross to be successful. You want him to play well. And if he does, then I think that'll be less incentive to see a guy like Powell. But if Ross continues to be streaky, I think that Casey will be quicker to pull the trigger and say, you know what, we're going to see what the rookie's got. And
I'm not so sure. I thought that would happen a long time ago, to be honest. Like, I thought that was going to happen a couple weeks ago, and we just never saw it happen.
And Terrence Ross was actually injured, and we still didn't see very much Norman Powell.
But speaking of Powell, you know, you caught up with him yesterday after shoot around. So let's get right to it. This is JD's convo with Norman Powell on Free Association.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Well, I'm going.
Go on, then.
Can I kick it to my tribe that rolls in layers? Right now, Fife is a point sayer. At times, I'm a studio conveyor. Mr. Dinkins with your
you please be my mayor? You'll be doing us a really big favor. Boy, this track really has a lot of flavor. When it comes to rhythm's quest, is your savior.
Welcome back to Free Association. Please be joined down the line by one Norman Powell, Raptors rookie shooting guard. And I guess forward, I would like to see anyway a bit, little bit more. Hey, Norman, I heard you took in the Leafs game last night. I saw that you're on the Twitter. You're becoming an official Canadian.
Yeah, definitely had to go to a Leafs game. It was fun. My first ever hockey game. It was a good experience.
Who'd you go with? Like, how'd you get the tickets?
One of my friends went with me and had a good time. One of the team service members helped me get tickets. I never had a chance to go out to the Kings game in L.A.
There you actually got to see a team. Actually, I guess the Leafs won last night, so I won't rag on them too much. But the Kings are actually a good team. You kind of missed out on that one. I won't spend a ton of time on hockey, but that's cool. It's nice that you took that in. We love asking guys on the show. We usually do this thing called the Free Association Quiz, and you're becoming kind of a full time Canadian now. You've been here for a while. I'm curious as to what's the thing in Canada that you've gotten here that you didn't have before that you really like.
That's a good question. That I haven't had before. Honestly, don't know. I haven't really.
Have you tried poutine?
I have tried poutine.
What do you think of it?
I think it's similar to like the taco shops, the corn asada fries down in San Diego.
Oh, so they put gravy on fries down there?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's usually our go-to of just like, hey, we put gravy on fries. That's the thing. What about ketchup chips?
Ketchup chips are terrible.
Oh. Oh, that's heartbreaking. I love them. They're one of my favorite snacks. You throw a bag of Lay's ketchup chips in front of me, and they're gone in like legit 10 minutes. Like, no question about it.
It's like too much ketchup. It tastes like pizza. I can't do it.
I was shocked as a kid when I went down to the States. I remember like my cousin lives there. And I remember going to visit him and him telling me that there were no ketchup chips and being shocked. But also that there's like a ton of Doritos flavors that they have in the States that they don't have up here. And I don't really understand why. Like, I don't think Doritos thinks Canada can handle all the Doritos flavors. It's mind-boggling. Drives me nuts.
That's the big difference right there.
Yeah, brutal.
Doritos are my go-to for sure.
Yeah, brutal chip selection up here. Hey, getting back to the hard court, I do want to kind of ask you a little bit about Kobe. I guess I'll start there because... You know, you didn't get to play at the Staples Center, but then, you know, you matched up a little bit against him in that game. And I got to imagine, like, you had to have something, like some kind of feeling. Like, you feel a little surreal. I know that generally it's not, you don't get starstruck anymore. You know, you're playing in the NBA now. But in a moment like that, does it feel like a little bit more?
Yeah, definitely. It was a surreal feeling, especially, like, running down the court next to him. I'm having to pick him up and guard him. Like, a couple of times in my head, like, damn, I'm, like, guarding Kobe Bryant right now.
Yeah.
Like, so crazy. But, it was just fun, you know, just enjoy that whole moment. And him, the fans showing him so much love from being his last game in Toronto.
Yeah, and I saw the Raptors gave him the gift on Instagram. I didn't really put together what it was. Was that just special OVO gear that they gave? Do you see that?
I didn't get a chance to see that, but I did hear about it.
Yeah.
About, like, him and DeMar signed shoes together, and then I heard that he signed Valanciunas' cast.
Yeah, cast. You didn't mob around for an autograph, eh?
No, I couldn't fangirl too much.
Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, you already had the moment in the game. Hey, you play with a guy who actually kind of reminds me a bit of Kobe, or at least you played with him. I know you've practiced with him, especially in the summers. In Russ Westbrook, and I'm kind of curious. Do you think that Russ now has kind of taken over that like NBA's alpha dog? Like Kobe for a year was kind of that guy, the killer, the guy with the instinct to put games away. And that wanted the ball the most. And I get the feeling that Russ, he's just so intense. And I've actually heard he's more intense in practice. So maybe you could even speak to that. But do you think that he kind of takes over as like the alpha dog in the NBA?
I think so. When you speak of like aggressiveness and like passion and just that that instinct to kill and take over games, you know, he controls the game in like so many different ways. And he's like so aggressive from start to finish of the games. He does have that Kobe mentality of wanting to win and wanting to be the best.
Do you have one story maybe that he had practicing with him? Because like I said, so intense. And like, I mean, I know he's your buddy, but he must get under your skin sometimes the way that he plays.
Not really, you know, because I really try to model my game after his. So when we're like working out or playing against each other, we're both going at each other because I have that same mentality of being aggressive, being in an attack and that relentless pace. So he just really helps better my game and And this gets me better and really teaches me the game of basketball.
I've never seen you do the double like gun holstering, though, that he does when he bangs the three. The snap of the wrist.
In college, I did. I took that from him.
Nice.
But I haven't yet in the NBA. I don't know how he's going to feel if I do that.
Yeah.
In the NBA. But college was okay because he was at a different level than I was.
Yeah, you might get a text for that one. speaking of your college time, how's your buddy Kevin Looney doing?
He's doing really well. You know, he's rehabbing his hip. He's liking it out in with the Warriors.
I would imagine he is.
He's having a good time, just enjoying that undefeated record.
Yeah, he must. You must like. Are you still in contact with him? You stay in touch, obviously.
Yeah, we talk.
Yeah, I imagine that he must have. He must be telling you every once in a while, like, this is just ridiculous, because like he was a bit of a shooter himself, and to be with that team and watching, like, I don't know if you saw last night, but I think Klay Thompson hit something nine or ten threes,
and the first half.
It was unbelievable that game. It was just every time Pacers would try to put up some points, Warriors dropped two threes, and you guys probably felt the same frustration when they were here of just. Every time it felt like you guys were taking a little bit of momentum, Steph would run down the floor and just chuck one up. Like, I've never even seen a guy do something like that before.
Yeah,
like
the way that team shoots the three ball is crazy. It's like all five of the guys can shoot, it seems like.
For yourself, we kind of talked about the Kobe thing being a little bit surreal, but now that, you know, you've been in the NBA for a couple of months now, you've been around the team, you know, you're part of it. Yeah, was there? I'm curious to know when your moment was when you came into the league where you kind of realized, "Wow, I'm here. I'm an NBA player. I belong here."
I think that came when I scored my first NBA point. You know, I didn't really count myself as an NBA player until I put points up on the board. That's just the standard I have for myself. So that moment when it came, you know, that's when I was like, "I'm an NBA player and I belong, and I have a lot more things to accomplish and do."
Yeah. I'm curious, what do you find the biggest adjustment has been so far?
Really still getting adjusted to the speed of the game, you know, and being able to make quick reads and decisions coming off, and how fast the game moves. That's like the biggest adjustment for me.
Yeah, and again, like I'm not putting you in a spot here where, you know, I want you to be complaining about minutes, but is it a little tougher for you knowing that, you know, I'm not going to maybe play tonight or tonight maybe I'll get a minute here, a minute two? I know that it can be kind of frustrating with up and down minutes trying to kind of get a feel for the game. And and the thing I'm kind of curious about is that you play with a guy, Corey Joseph, who's playing his former team tonight. And one of his, like, famed stories that everybody always raves about when it comes to Kojo is how he asked to go down to the D League to get playing time. And have you ever thought about doing that, or are you're comfortable with where you're at?
I never really thought about doing that.
Yeah.
Because talking to coaches, they always talk about like how I'm so close to being put into the rotation. But you know, it's just I prepare the same way I do as if I'm going to start, go out there and play 30 minutes of the game. You know, the same intensity, same mindset. My work ethic is still the same of getting extra shots up, getting extra work in, and just being ready to go. So it doesn't matter if I don't play or if I get 5 minutes, I'm going to go out there and compete the same way and stay aggressive and stay with that high intensity like I always play.
Yeah.
So it's just about being patient and having time and knowing that time's going to come, and it's always being ready.
Yeah, you never want to see guys get hurt, and especially – a team like this that Damari comes in and he's still getting, you know, he's still getting used to playing with these guys and you're still gelling as a team. But one of the positive things at least is that you get to see what some guys can do, and we're definitely rooting for you, and we're hoping that we'll get to see a little bit more of you. And hey man, again, thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate having you on.
No, thanks for having me.
I swear though, next time when I'm down there, I'm bringing a bag of ketchup chips. I want to see you eat one and tell me that it's gross to my face. Like that.
All
right. Anyway, man, thanks again.
No problem.
Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Chicago Bulls. You're listening to Free Association. Onions, baby onions!
All right, good stuff, JD. That was a killer interview.
Oh, that was gold. That was really good stuff.
No, it was good, though. That secret snack turned out to be ketchup chips.
It did.
I'm with Norman Powell. I'm not a big
You don't
fan.
Like ketchup chips?
No. I'm strong. I'm proud. I'm like comfortable enough in my Canadianism that I don't feel the need to say I like ketchup chips.
I should hope so. You're born and raised here. The one thing that I was kind of more devastated about, though, is that like they basically have poutine in the States and we've been trumpeting it around as our own thing. And he's like, no, like basically we have.
Yeah, they just call it something.
He's like, that's no big deal. We have that. Like, that's like a staple of Mexican food down in LA. Like, I've had that before. It's like, what?
Not to open up this another camp, but that is like the story of like civilization, basically, is like people taking from other things that came before them and claiming it as their own and being like bewildered that, oh, what, this existed before? It's like, yeah, you knocked it off from something.
That's like us with basketball podcasts. We're like, what? No, this is the first one.
I'm pretty sure this is the first and also I think the only one.
This is the only one.
I think that's part of the reason for
our skyrocketing
success is that there's no other options, which is great.
There's none. You're screwed. You're here to stay.
Okay, well, listen, the most interesting thing that I think Powell had to say was, and he just alluded to it slightly at the end, was that the coaches are telling him he's going to get some opportunities in the rotation soon. I don't buy that, to be honest. I think that's the kind of thing that coaches tell young players so they can keep their spirits up, make sure they stay motivated and whatnot. Because, I mean, hey, like, catastrophe could hit and he will be in the rotation soon. But as it stands right now, like we were saying before, like, I don't know if I see it happening. It would be nice to see because he's got game, but he seems to be buried right now.
He's got game, but again, it's kind of hard to justify playing him at that spot when he hasn't really shown an ability at the NBA level yet to shoot.
Yeah, well, you know what?
He's not a reliable jump shooter.
But
not
again,
yet.
It's kind of like maybe even like DeRozan again. Like you're not going to get everything. You need to know who this guy is and what he can contribute. You're not going to put him out there expecting him to be a shooter. You put him out there expecting him to be like a lockdown type defender, an energy guy, and a guy who can create chaos driving to the rim.
The only problem is that right now the Raptors are loaded with dudes like that, so justifying minutes for him is kind of tough.
And that's probably the biggest reason why he hasn't gotten.
That's what I mean. He doesn't have a skill set right now.
You can look at James Johnson. You can look at Norman Powell, and you can think, you know, I'll go with, I'm a little more sure of what I'm going
to
get from
that's
Johnson.
That's it. He just right now, I don't think he's bringing a certain skill to the table that they don't have and that they feel they can use.
Well, if he did go to the D League, I think he would dominate.
He would.
Like, DeLon Wright is killing it in the D League. We saw what Lucas
and I think he's only played one game in the D League, and he was like, and they're like, and the D League is over. Like,
yeah,
you're
seriously
the best player to ever play here. Like, you ended the league. He came in there and he stomped everybody
out. Short second behind our guy, Mike James, dropping triple doubles at age 40.
That's the only thing I'll say. Again, you want to believe in the D League. We try to make it into a bigger deal sometimes than I think it is, but ultimately, like, it's very far off from the NBA product.
No, what it is, it's like a training tool.
Right. You use it as a tool, but it's not like in the NHL you have the AHL. It's nothing like that.
No, and I think it's because like the brand of basketball isn't as conducive to like winning. Like in the AHL, those teams are trying to win more than I think the MBDL, the D-League teams are trying to win. You know, like winning is not a priority for a lot of those teams, and they'll tell you themselves. Like there's a lot of different things that they're trying to accomplish individually as a team and whatnot, and it all gets kind of muddled up, and as a result, development can hurt, or at least the on-court product can hurt. But the development side of it is where you can still get something out of it. I mean, it's an opportunity for minutes and little more. Minutes and coaching, and that's about it.
And again, I still think that's the most important thing when it comes to our man, Bruno Caboclo. I still believe that if the Raptors don't draft Bruno Caboclo, I don't think they have a D-League team right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you read the thing I did in the magazine, like, they drafted him with the plan of, like, okay, now we're going to get a D-League team.
Yeah.
Like, it was all tied in together. And, yeah, you know, like he told me, like, this is going to be a really good year for me. And it was because he knew he'd get opportunity to get experience playing in the D-League. Lucas Bebe on our Tuesday show said the same thing, how much coming into this season, he knew that in the NBA it might be deja vu with his rookie year and he'd be sitting on the bench and, you know, he was going to have a really hard time dealing with that. But he knew that this team was going to be there in Mississauga, so there's this opportunity there for him that wouldn't otherwise be there, and it just kind of
sucks that Baby got hurt
on another level. Yeah, I
had a coming out party against Warriors again. Doesn't look like
I don't think it'll be that bad. But yeah, he was great on Tuesday. I really enjoyed him. I want to have him back on. He was just super insightful and a really really good guy.
He just seems like a really nice guy. He's joyous. Like I think you mentioned he's the kind of guy that's not comfortable with telling a stranger he loves them.
with Paul Pierce. It's so funny.
All the people too, Paul Pierce. Well,
and he said it like he was like revealing something. He's like, I've never told anybody this, but Paul Pierce is my favorite player. And then guarding him, I just had to tell him, I love you.
I love
my favorite
you.
Clip, like we'll drop the sound bite, and I think it's like a sound drop we can use for a long time, is I was asking about, because he said, like, I don't want to be the franchise player. He's like, when I went to the D League, it was fine, but I wasn't comfortable being the guy. Mm-hmm. I'd rather kind of contribute here and there. Like, I don't care.
Hey, baby, newsflash. Don't worry. No one's expecting you to be
but
that.
But in the D League, he was. He was like Hakeem Olajuwon.
I think you could be a star player in the D League almost. In your prime, you think?
I think I could put up like 6 points.
You think you get six? Just go stand out in the corner and shoot threes? You're not getting the basket.
You know
you're not
what,
finishing
though?
The basket.
That's the crazy thing to say.
It's full of those athletic shot blocker dudes.
I think I'd get shut down.
Of course you would get shut down.
I take that back.
You would get annihilated. Guys would close on you. You'd be like, oh shit, that guy's really long.
But so his amazing drop was, and part of it's just like the language thing, but it was the tone of his voice when he's talking about being a little more selfless. He'd rather, you know, set a screen and all that kind of stuff. He didn't care about the 14 points. It was nice, but that's not how he wants to contribute. And I asked him if that's what he was like away from the court.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, is that just kind of your personality, like away from basketball as well? And he goes, yes, this is my life. It was just great.
I like Baby. I want to talk to him too next time. I got
he's a good guy.
Mostly I just want to talk to him about chips though and what he likes here and, you know, the my hard hitting stuff, like I said.
But yeah, so that was cool.
What do you think of the Toronto cab driver's strike, Bebe? Like, how's that affecting your life?
I thought you were asking me. I was going to say, I don't care.
Well, I just think that's actually a pretty funny way to garner support of the people. They're like, hey, cabbies, no one's using you. You know what we're going to do? To the people who hate traffic more than anyone, Torontonians, we're going to cause more. Good job, cabbies.
I hate traffic, so let's get out of here so I can beat it. Listen, this has been cool. On Tuesday, we got a good show for you, so check in then. Raptors upcoming schedule over the weekend, they're going to play, well, the Bucks on Friday, the Sixers on Sunday. So those are two teams that, JD, if you're right, they're going to play down to their competition and maybe not have such a great game. I really think a switch was turned for this team last Saturday, and I think that it means they're going to be coming out and not giving up these games that they have before. But after that, Pacers, Hornets, Heat.
I can't wait for that Pacers game. I think that's a big one, too. Another great game.
The Hornets are quietly playing really well.
They are,
well.
But Al Jefferson now suspended. Into drugs.
That's okay. Like,
there's a shout-out to that podcast that gave us a shout-out. What are they called?
Smoking Screen.
Smoking Screen.
Yeah, my favorite podcast.
Yeah, Al Jefferson was going down to the Smoking Screen and he got injured a little bit.
Movies and got injured in the process.
Quickly, I wanted to get to, but right before we go, was you talking about the Sixers quickly. They bring in Colangelo and you think that Mr. Henke, you and others think that the Henke era might be coming to a close.
Might have some information that you could read about on sportsnet.ca.
You won't give the people that on the pod,
No, but... you don't need to be a genius to look at Colangelo coming in and say that it means Henke might be on the way out.
He's not coming in to be like, trust the process. I'm also here just to trust the process.
Exactly. That being said, Donovan Bennett, look out for it on Sunday, possibly Saturday on sportsnet.ca.
We got to get Donovan in on this soon.
He's going to be in defense of the process. So he'll make the case for why it's great.
Donovan.
And then I'll disagree with
Donovan. Donovan's follow-up piece to why Norman Powell is going to win Rookie of the Year.
Right.
that's good to have him on.
It'll be a good argument anyways. Yeah. It's a cool conversation. Yeah. But so that's coming up in the future. Remember, next Tuesday you can catch our next show always on sportsnet.ca, iTunes.
And go check out the Kyle Lowry interview on Brady and Walker today. It was good. He had some cool stuff to say.
You can hit up sportsnet.ca and find the Kyle Lowry interview from Brady and Walker today. All right, JD, anything else? I really want to do the track.
No, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Bye.
You're listening to Free Association, and now you are. Farmer John.
This is about all of us. I love you, people.